address the board regarding closed session items? Seeing none, we will adjourn to closed session. I'm going to go ahead and call this meeting to order at 7:03 p.m. And I'm going to ask everyone to please rise for a moment of silence in honor of Mr. Popoff, who was our former assistant superintendent for the district, who served us for over 30 years, and he recently passed. So in his honor, let's go ahead and just take a moment of silence. Thank you, and Mr. Cox will lead us in the flag salute.
Please join me in the salute to our flag. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Ms. Samantha Sabin is here.
Ms. Schumacher?
Here.
Ms. Cole?
Here.
Mr. Cox?
Here.
Mr. Sabin? Ms. Campbell?
Here.
And I'd like to take this moment after our roll call to welcome Dr. Coughlin. I'd like to welcome you to our district as our new Assistant Superintendent of Business Services. It's good to have you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, there is nothing to report out of closed session. At this time, we are going to move on to our presentation from the West Covina High School Committee. A presentation on a Mike Okura Memorial.
Good evening. I'm here tonight representing a group of individuals, including community members, alumni, staff, faculty, primarily from West Covina High School. And we're here tonight to make a presentation to you for an enduring honor and memorial to Mike Okura. As I know you remember, Mike passed away earlier this year unexpectedly and left a large void in the community, at the high school, and a very personal aspect to a lot of us. I had the honor of calling Mike Okura my teacher, and he was dad number two. And I don't use that term sparingly. I love to tell that to people because that is the impact that Mike had on my life. He was my mentor, he was my teacher, and he was my friend. And he was my dad number two. And I had a very close personal relationship with Mike, but I'm not the only person who did. Mike started teaching at the high school in the early 70s, and his second year, my mother was in his freshman English class. That started a trend where 14 members of my family had Michael Okura as a teacher at West Covina High School. To say that Mike Okura taught generations of our students and now our community members is not an exaggeration. But Mike's story doesn't stop when he decided to become a teacher and go to work at the high school. Most people don't know this, but Mike walked door to door, hand in hand with his father, collecting donations to build Thyberg Field when there were still cabbage patches across the street. You know, and he remembers this the smell during the summer of the cabbage rotting. But that started Mike's relationship with West Covina Schools. He went to West Covina Schools. Mike himself was an alumnus at West Covina High School. He was on the football team. He was involved in student government. He was involved in student organizations. And that cemented what was important about our schools with him. He went on and came back to us And that is probably the most pinnacle moment in the history of the high school. And I really mean that. I truly do. There are some amazing teachers that we've had at the high school and we have today. But Mike Okura stands out. He stands out because he gave his students the ability to think like global citizens before that was a catchphrase in education. He gave us the ability to create our own moral compass, our own ethical compass. He never told us what was right and he never told us what was wrong, but he gave us the tools to think critically about the world around us. And Mike taught English. And he taught grammar. And he taught me what a dangling participle was. And I know not to use it or to end a sentence with a prepositional phrase. But that's more. That's not where he ends. And that's not the impact. That's not where his impact ends. It's not that he taught me that Shakespeare actually can be interesting to read. It's not that. It's the impact that he has and that he's made on generations of students in our community that he made on me. And that's one of the reasons why I'm here talking to you tonight. I was very honored to have been asked by, you know, staff members and members of the community, you know, to come and talk to you tonight about this. And I want to be clear, we're not asking you for any financial assistance. We already have a team who's ready to go at a moment's notice, a professional fundraising team. What we're asking is for you to recognize the impact that he's had on our community. That Mike Okura wasn't just someone who came and collected a paycheck. That he spent more free time with his students than he did sometimes with his family. That his dedication didn't stop at the end of the school day, that he coached, that more people than know him as Mr. Okura know him as Coach O, that Mike coached everything under the sun, not because he was an avid tennis fan, but because he knew that that's where you taught leadership, that's where you taught athleticism, and those were very important aspects to him. That's what made a well-rounded student. That's what made someone a productive member of society. It's hard to talk about Mike like this because it was such a personal thing for me as an individual. But I could bring in person after person after person to tell you stories and the same things that I'm telling you now. He really did make that much of an impact in our community, more so than I think anyone that we've seen in a long time, and I think more so than what we might see for a while. His dedication to the school, you know, extended to his family. When I first met Diane, she was the career counselor in the career center. His daughter, Lindy, was a substitute teacher when I was there, but has now been a teacher at the high school for many years. His son-in-law, Drew Loringer, taught at the high school and met Lindy, and they got married. But it really did become a family affair. And that's the dedication that Mike instilled in his own family. And it wasn't something that he did without thinking, because he wasn't going to invest his time in something that he didn't believe in. He invested his time in things that he did believe in, and he believed in our students, and he's put out generations of students who have gone forward and have done amazing things. Research biologists, doctors, lawyers, members of our military who serve overseas in special forces units. And those people have come back and have said, I know how to be a good person because I had Mike Okura. I hope that you will recognize and acknowledge the impact that he had. It was something, and he was someone that words are very hard to describe. I'm sorry that Ms. Kaplan never had an opportunity to know Mike, because it is very difficult to explain. But the only thing that I can say that really sums everything up is that he's the person that you want your child to have as a teacher. He's someone that you feel comfortable with. He was someone that you knew was going to give a quality education. And education didn't stop with what's a dangling participle and how not to do it. It went beyond that. So if you have any questions about what exactly it is that we're asking, I'll be more than happy to entertain those or go from your pleasure.
I know we had a proposal, but I haven't heard you say tonight what you're actually proposing.
I'm sorry. It was the it's the naming of the baseball field, the area north of the football field.
And that's it's the naming or
it's the naming.
Okay. Yeah.
We would, I think ideally, what we would like to do is we would fundraise for a new scoreboard that would have a dedication on it. You know, something along the lines of the, you know, Michael Okura Memorial Baseball Field or Okura Field that would have a name on it. I mean, really, as just right now, we're making, you know, the presentation to you because from, you know, this is new uncharted territory. And it's something that the community feels very strongly in, and something that the staff and faculty feel very strongly in, and that's why we're here.
Ms. Polis asked my main question. I would like to see more about just fully fleshed out plans. You mentioned that you're thinking about the scoreboard. What you would need from the Board of Education in terms of the sky's the limit in terms of the baseball field, what you actually would like to do with it. Is the scoreboard? Are you interested in redoing the whole field, fundraising to do the whole field? How much you think you need to raise? What's the timeline?
Just
a little bit more formal.
And part of that, too, comes because it is such new, uncharted territory. It's what the board is willing to give, you know, how far are you willing to go? We would love to be able to go out and have a very aggressive fundraising campaign and redo the entire baseball field, you know, including a new scoreboard. If that's something that you don't feel comfortable in having an outside group do, then we would be, you know, happy to work with you on that. But it is new, and it's an opportunity for us to come forward. I'd be more than happy to meet with Ms. Kaplan at some point to, you know, flesh this out. But it is new. There's very little precedent for this, if any precedent. There's Thyberg Field, but you're talking about, you know, the founding superintendent of the school district and led the fundraising drive for it. So we're talking, you know, we haven't been here at this position, you know, for decades. So we want to take it, you know, at an appropriate pace and work hand in hand.
I recommended that the committee come and share this with the board because I've met with them once. I know our principals met with them twice, but we really felt we needed direction from the board to go any further and to do any more planning because this is uncharted territory. We don't have a policy, and I think this is an opportunity because we really haven't had this discussion in public as a board to, you know, get your feelings about moving forward on this with obviously much more communication back and forth, but is this a direction that the board would entertain us moving in? I guess that's really the question. Is there merit in moving forward?
I hope there's merit in moving forward. I'd like to entertain a little more discussion on it.
I'm just not sure if we can do that because it's a presentation.
Right.
So I don't know if we can give direction, and they might want to, you know, if it was on the agenda, there might, you're talking about a lot of community support, there might be people that want to talk to this. So it's difficult when it's just a committee report, but you did an excellent job, and I didn't realize that he actually raised money way back then, and I knew he was a fabulous man, but I didn't realize that he actually was out there pounding the pavement and through the cabbage patch to raise money for the fiber field, which is interesting. It would be nice to have that history, to know what, you know, to know those things. I think that's valuable to know where we came from and the people involved.
Yeah, I agree. As procedurally,
we can move forward.
Procedurally, as you would go, I mean,
I guess the question is, what other information would you need for us to bring to you to put it to a vote to the board? And this is really just a very initial conversation, but what else do you need for us to do to move this forward? What information would you need? What would you like to see happening?
Well, I think this is just my opinion. Before we do anything, we probably need to have a policy on what naming a field after somebody or even a flower gardener. We haven't really looked at that. Like you said, this is all new territory.
Right, I mean, this really,
that might
it
be
is.
The first step to do, and then you would have, as a group, have a way to move forward with that, since we haven't done that before.
That's exactly where I think we need to be moving towards.
And as Ms. Kaplan indicated, you know, it's new, and there isn't a policy on, you know, on file. I know that there are, you know, I did it as my Eagle Scout project at Edgewood, the Rose Garden, you know, for Jeannie Johnson. But that was, you know, an entirely different mm-hmm. animal. We're now talking about something that's much more large scale. Mm-hmm. And Ms. Kaplan thought that was something that needed board direction and needed to be done out in open, in public. So, you know, that's really where we're at now.
I would be happy.
And agendize it for the next board meeting.
I'd be happy to work on a policy to bring to you and start at that level, at a policy level.
And I think that would really help.
I think that would help you and it would help us.
Yeah. Right.
We're going to have to start, begin the discussions to create a policy.
So my thing for the next agenda is to have an agenda to discuss more policy. As we are doing that, I would ask the committee to, I know you have ideas, but to actually have the formal proposal ready with the numbers. I don't know how maybe you're going to do that. Maybe some ideas of how you're planning to fundraise. So that, and the numbers, we may need to leave a little bit of room, but once we have a board policy in place and once we have a better idea of size and limit what you want to do, then we can always vote on that, and from there, possibly have business services help price out and help you with,
I mean,
what needs to be passed to be able to even do this in terms of regulations and get a timeline.
Right, right. And, you know, it's working with, you know, pre-existing, you know, Cal building construction regs and education regs, and it's working with that. There's a lot, you know, this isn't something that's going to happen in the near future, and we know that. But, you know, it's something that we want to get the ball rolling on.
The faster we start, the better we know. And
that's
we
true.
Really can't approve the proposal until we have some idea of what it's going to
and that's part of the
on
reason
our side in terms yeah. of regulations and money.
And that's part of the reason why I haven't
fundraise. We still have to have some idea of what our staff costs are going to be, what they're going to need to do to present it to any for any regulations.
And I think we all agree that we have to have a policy first. I mean, that really is this, and that's really where we want to start. But we wanted to start to give you the opportunity to have conversation in open session. If it was just a blue card coming in tonight, you couldn't respond, and we wanted to at least get the conversation going. But I'd be happy to bring a draft board policy.
And that's part of the reason why I don't have something hard to pass out to you right now. Is, you know, we want to wait and see and get direction to work, you know, collectively and cooperatively to move forward. But, I mean, that was definitely something that, you know, is on the agenda. Well, maybe that's a bad turn of phrase. You know, on the list further down the road.
Okay.
So it sounds like first we're going to create, we're going to take a look at possibly creating a policy, and number two, a more formal one.
So I would actually recommend that the policy be first,
right, absolutely,
and
absolutely.
Not bring until the policy is passed. Then the next step would
then
be for them to come back. Yeah.
But the direction is that the policy have it passed.
Yes.
That this doesn't get delayed. Yeah.
We'll bring a first draft. We'll
bring.
Thank you. I really appreciate, you know, you letting me come in to make the presentation to you, and it's an important thing to us out in the community. So I really want to thank you for that and for your patience, and to Ms. Kaplan for diligently working with us and her patience and her ongoing patience. I want to thank you personally.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Jones. And thank you to everyone who came out in support of this. Thank you. Okay, next. I have nothing to report at this time. Do my colleagues have anything to report?
No.
No? Okay. I have no blue cards, so I don't have anybody. Unless there is anyone in the audience who would like to address the Board of Education at this time. Okay. Then we are going to go ahead and take a look at our agenda. Is there anybody who wants to move anything off of consent? Anybody who would like to add anything to consent?
I'd like to hear Raina's proposal.
Since she's here.
And she's right, she's here. Okay. No? Okay. Then who will move?
I'll move it as presented.
Okay, thank you very much. Who will second that?
I will.
So it's been moved by Ms. Kulos and seconded by Ms. Shoemaker to approve the agenda and consent items for the regular meeting of July 31st, 2012. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? And one absent. So four ayes, one absent. Okay, thank you very much. We're going to move over to item number 7, which is the request for approval of a grant application. I will go ahead and turn that over to Ms. Kaplan.
I'm really excited tonight that Raina Del Haro is here this evening. One of the first visitors I had to my office when I became superintendent was Raina to talk to me about some collaboration between our school district and a partnership with Kaiser Permanente. I was also invited to Hearst Ranch to see what a wonderful historical program that we have here in our district, and to encourage our schools to participate more. And throughout the year, I think Raina, working with Hearst Ranch, now working with Ellie Valentine and Cameron School, have come up with a wonderful opportunity for students, and she's here to present it to you tonight.
Thank you,
Raina.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here this evening. Again, my name is Raina Del Haro, and I'm the Public Affairs Director at Kaiser Permanente in Baldwin Park. And as Deborah mentioned, we've been working with Hearst Ranch a little bit. It's really a gold mine in this community. And we have a similar program in Baldwin Park. It's a community garden that's located on a quarter acre of land adjacent to the medical center. And since 1997, we've had a community garden program where we have fourth grade students come through every year. And it's called the Movable Feast. And really what it does is it educates the children on the importance of healthy eating and active living, nutrition, and how to harvest produce and then basically take it into the kitchen and prepare healthy recipes. And part of what Kaiser Permanente does is through our community benefit program, we provide grants to nonprofits, municipalities, school districts to further our social mission. And in the community, one of those community needs is obesity prevention, nutrition education, and the promotion of physical activity. So with this collaborative, again, it's being modeled after the Movable Feast program that we have at Baldwin Park. We would partner with West Covina Unified School District, and that being that you would have the students come to the Hearst Ranch. Hearst Ranch would basically be the facility where the classes would be held. And then for us, we would continue to facilitate and basically provide the funding. We know that there is really no funding at this time for a lot of programs, and that's where we would come in, provide the funding to pay for the instructors that would provide the gardening instruction, the nutrition education, the busing, and any fees associated with the tours over at Hearst. So the participating school that we've identified is Cameron Elementary. Ms. Toyanne Miller has stepped up. She's a teacher, a fourth and fifth grad combination student, and there's 32 children that would be involved. The program time frame would be starting this September, and the kids would basically be going once a month on a Wednesday for an hour, and they would alternate every month. So 1 month when they would come, they would be with the gardening instructor, and then the following month they would come and work with the nutrition educator and actually prepare healthy recipes from what they've harvested. Incorporated into that is also a field trip to Hearst Ranch, which is a half-day program, and they learn about ranching, and Hearst Ranch has a whole curriculum around that. It would also include a year-end celebration. We do something similar in Baldwin Park where we invite the school board, the city council, community leaders, and so forth to be a part of that celebration, and it's really celebrating with the students what they've done in the prior year. We also unveil a cookbook. I did bring copies of what we produce in Baldwin Park. Obviously, what we do in West Covina would be scaled down because this is really, in essence, a pilot program, and our hope is that if it's successful, and I'm sure it will be, that we could continue on and further it into other schools. That's what we've done in Baldwin Park, and like I said, since 1997, we've been doing it. The beauty of it is we also involve the parents. The parents are welcome to come and be a part of it. We've learned just in working with children that getting the parents involved is really important. They're the ones who purchase the food, and if you know they get into the habit of maybe harvesting some of the produce and looking at the healthier recipes, that they may be more inclined to do that in the home. So in essence, we've prepared a grant request that would be presented to our Community Benefit Review Committee. The program cost is $42.28, and in essence, it would cover program costs to pay, again, the instructors, the supplies for the cooking demonstrations, and the bus transportation, and also the field trip for each student to go to Hearst Ranch. So we're hopeful that you would be interested in participating. I did give you a program outline on the dates in terms of when it would launch, the first day of the program. We would hope that all of you would have an opportunity, if you had, to come by and take a look at what's being done, and hopefully, you know, at some point we can expand the program to be a little bit of what we have in Baldwin Park. So are there any questions?
The actual teaching, is that done at Cameron School?
No, everything happens at Hearst Ranch. The students will be bused. Yeah, the students will be bused from Cameron to Hearst and then bused back. And so everything will happen at Hearst Ranch.
And how long was that, the time?
It's an hour. They're there from 8:30 to 9:30.
But they integrate the concepts into the curriculum when they get back.
Yes.
I think it's great that we're trying to partner with Hearst Ranch. It's something that I hope would happen for a long time. So at first I thought maybe you were going to them and they only had one field trip there, but they're going every Wednesday to Hearst Ranch.
They're
going to
go there once a month, yeah, September through May, maybe in the year-end celebration, and they'll alternate. Okay. You know, so the first month in September will be a garden education, and then when they come back the next time, it'll be a cooking demo. And then it'll alternate. So there will be four cooking demonstrations, and there will be four gardening. You have the one field trip to Hearst Ranch, which is a half day, and then you have the year-end celebration in May. Well, they'll unveil their cookbook, and we'll have some type of program and hopefully involve all of you as well.
Raina, is there going to be guest chefs like you had with Baldwin Park?
No. In having discussions, what we have in Baldwin Park is we have a guest chef program, and the reason being is the time. We need more time.
Okay.
And we know that we're just starting off here, but they are they're there a lot more in Baldwin Park, and so we have a guest chef component where we invite elected officials, community leaders. Our physicians have gone out, and they cook alongside the student and the instructor. And they also share with the student, you know, a little bit about what they do for a living, how they got there, the importance of education, the importance of healthy eating and active living. So hopefully at some point, maybe next year, we can do that. Yeah.
The garden that you have at Baldwin Park, that's a community garden. Is this going to be the same thing?
No, the community garden is owned by Kaiser Permanente. So it's on a quarter acre of our land, and so we own it, and we allow the school district to utilize it. This is different because this is at Hearst Ranch. It's an existing site. But they're really anxious to partner with the community and bring kids in.
So which area of the garden? I mean, so is there going to be a specific area?
Yeah, there's a designated area, and we provided funding. It's out towards the front. We took our gardening instructor out there. We've had several site visits, and they've gone out, and there's a dedicated...
So it's outside of by the corn crib?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And they're already in the process of constructing the plots and everything, so it'll be dedicated specifically for that one class.
Will you be? Will the curriculum include anything? Who's going to maintain the garden itself? Because obviously, on a once-a-month program.
Our gardening instructor, George Funk, and his salary will be is part of the grant here.
So he'll maintain it.
He'll maintain it. Yeah.
Okay, and then in addition to the actual vegetables and the growing and all of that sort of thing, there's certainly component for soil enrichment, that sort of thing. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that obviously is going to involve some sort of dealing with composting as such?
I don't know the extent of the composting. We have a full-fledged program there, but in any aspect of the garden component, George will be responsible for it, and we have job descriptions, if you will, for both him and the nutrition educator.
There is somebody in, I believe it's in Monrovia, is from the Monrovia area that wants to be involved with providing compost bins to schools and school districts. I did mention it to Tanny Taylor some time ago, and anyway, I think it's an important component of the program.
Sure.
As well as an opportunity for kids to learn more, a little bit more about some of the science that goes into the growing and that sort of thing, which could, and I hope most certainly will, include vermiculture as such also. And so that, hopefully they have an opportunity to do that and develop in those areas too. But I know that we can get free compost bins and...
Yeah, and at the one we have in Baldwin Park, we actually have a greenhouse that was donated by Kaiser Permanente. So they have seedlings. Like I said, it's a whole quarter acre that's dedicated to the students. So this is a little bit different. We're working with what we have at Hearst, which is a fantastic piece of property. I mean, that is an amazing site.
Great thing.
And so, I'm sure there's going to be learnings from this first year. It's a pilot program, and we're hoping to expand. We do have a whole composting component. George Funk, who is the garden instructor, he's a master gardener, so this is exactly what he does. Linda Hahn is a nutrition educator, and she's a professor at Cal State LA, and this is also her profession as well.
I believe Lisa Majori, who is a dean at the high school, also is a master gardener.
Okay. Okay. Well, we welcome all that. I mean, Yeah, so absolutely. And, I can check with you, Deborah, if there's somebody for composting, we're happy to bring them in. Like I said, when we started in Baldwin Park, we started very small. There was actually movies filled at the medical center before we opened up as an outpatient facility, and all those movies were invested into the community, and that's how we started our garden,
Thank you.
Yeah, many years ago. So I'm sure it'll eventually evolve into something bigger and better. Yeah.
I only have one minor concern, and it's...
Sure.
That the day that the children go is Wednesday, which is already a short day for professional development. So I'm just concerned that instead of having one half day in the program, it will essentially be eight half days, because by the time they go and come back and get resettled and go to lunch, they're basically finished for the day.
Ellie, you worked with Ms. Leska.
Figure out
name is Farah. I am extremely excited that you are doing this. I've spoken to a few of the board members over at Baldwin Park who just have nothing but rave reviews about the program that's there. Kaiser is my health care, so just as I was pleased about the reading and my children getting their books every time they went in for an annual physical, I'm equally as excited that you're bringing this to our community and that the students will be able to plant, garden. My children themselves are allergic to dairy. I'm very interested in the no ice cream banana split. So I'm really pleased with your effort reaching out, coming to us, and bringing this to our district. I think it's an incredible opportunity for students that most kids don't experience any longer. And I appreciate that you're tying it into the curriculum and that you're partnering with us. Thank you so much. I'm excited to see this, and I'm going to show up on some of these dates.
Well, we'll definitely be in touch with all of you, but we appreciate your support and any feedback you can give us. Again, it's going to be a learning for all of us, but we're really excited to partner with West Covina, and you know, you really have a gold mine across the street in Hearst Ranch. Yeah, if only all communities had that, so we're very excited.
And I was equally pleased to hear that you're saying we're piloting and you'd like to expand it.
Absolutely.
So I'm excited about that, too. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. Do we any other questions for Ms. Harlow? Little Huddle. No? Okay. Ms. Pullo is moving it. Okay. All those in favor to approve the submission of a grant application to Kaiser Permanente Community Benefit Charitable Contributions Program to support a community partnership program with First Ranch at Canada School. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Motion is carried. 4 ayes, 1 absent. Mr. Smith is absent. Okay, we are now on to item number 14, the information report, Williams, Valenzuela. I will turn that over to Ms. Kepner.
And I will turn it over to our expert here, Mr. Seaman.
And I will report to the board that we had no complaints related to this legislation and for this fourth quarter.
Yeah, it's not on here. For August 16th is the first day teachers come back, and I just want to make sure you guys get that on your calendar as well.
August 16th is the first day the teachers come back.
And that we welcome you to join us on August 6th or 8th in the morning. We don't call it a retreat. We call it an advance, and it's going to be at the Civic Center.
And just outside the council chamber.
And what time does it start, Ellie?
And August 16th is also the State of the District, right? That's our State of the District.
Yes.
Presentation.
We just hope we get our data back by then.
We should.
It's very late this year.
Right. They're going to hold some pins and needles. Okay, there being no further business to come before the Board of Education at the regular meeting on July 31st, we are adjourned at 7:41 p.m.